earlier this week, I met a colleague for coffee, and as is inevitable whenever preachers get together, he asked me what I was going to preach about concerning the widow's mite. Now, the widow's mite is the name we've given the story in today's gospel reading. And as I told him my message of blessed to be a blessing, he seemed confused. And I can understand his confusion, because don't we usually come to see blessings as those good things of joy or of happiness, of prosperity, or even answered prayer? Don't we usually say things like, getting that job was such a blessing, or her joy is such a blessing to see? But I ask you this morning, if the poor widow had not blessed others with her sacrifice, would we have even known about it? So back to Jesus in the temple, teaching the large crowd. There they are, the usual suspects, the Levitical scholars or the legal scholars, his disciples, there are many strangers, the temple priests and other Jews, and they are milling about in the temple precinct. And there is Jesus, watching and seeing, teaching them to really see, to catch a moment of grace in a life of poverty. Jesus is sitting across from the collection box in the temple, watching the members give their money to support the temple. And there were lots of rich people putting in their fair share, or as today's translation puts it, throwing in money, their spare change, as it were, when along comes a poor widow who walks forward with two small coins, a widow's mite. Now, a widow's mite was made of bronze, and two equaled a quadran, the smallest and least valuable Roman coin, more accurately what they called a lepton, worth about 6 minutes of an average worker's daily wage. And they came to be so named for the poorest of the poor, whose purse might contain one or two. So I wear around my neck today, I don't know if you can see it, it's very, very small. This is a widow's mite from the second century in Jerusalem. It's very small. And this small coin reminds me that even though I am small in the great scheme of things, that Jesus sees me, even in the crowd. Jesus sees the poverty in my life, the tears and fears that bind just action, the losses and sorrows that trap me in the past, the slings and arrows that pierce a heart to love. All of the moments of my life, the good and the bad, I offer to God in the belief that they have planted in me a compassion and humility that will mark me as God's servant forever. And I will offer all of this poverty of spirit to God every day in the belief that God will use it to bless others. What would it mean for you if you realized that blessings came through tears? What if the trials of your life brought you God's mercies in disguise? So goes a song, Blessings, by Laura Story, that I'm going to play for you now. So kind of relax and settle in. And this won a Grammy last year, and it's written by Laura Story.
For your mighty hand us way too much to give us lesser things. 'Cause what if your blessings come through raindrops? What if your healing comes through tears? What if a thousand sleepless nights are what it takes to know you're near? What if trials of this life are your mercies in disguise?
So what do we learn from the disappointments in life? Do we learn that no one cares, no one sees? Or do we wonder what God might do with it and us if we offered it all up to God? Because if you think about it, what can we really learn about having faith if we never need to use it? What meaning does faith have for us if we never need to lean on it? What would our teachers in the faith, those who shared their cardboard testimonies with us today, have taught us had they not walked through their own valleys and offered them up to God? Now, Laura Story, the woman who wrote the song that you just listened to, she's also written a book. This was published last year, and I highly recommend it. It's called What If Your Blessings Come Through Raindrops? And the nice thing about this book, she talks about various aspects of being a person of faith. And it's a very powerful way that she brings it all to the everyday. And then she also has a section where you can kind of journal your own thoughts in relation to how she kind of breaks down valleys and peaks of faith. And the first chapter in her book is called Blessed to Be a Blessing, and it is the theme of our stewardship campaign, which I have to say, we didn't come up with the name before I realized it was the first chapter in this book. But in it, Laura describes God blessing Abraham. And he was a man undeserving. He was a liar and a manipulator. And yet God blesses even him to be a blessing to others for generations upon generations, culminating in you and me. If life had been given to him without a struggle, would he have valued it? Would we even know of Abraham without it? T.D. Jakes describes it like this: to receive something without struggle lessens its personal value. We are blessed in the all of life, not just in the plenty. In the words of Elizabeth Elliot, in the very place where God has put us, whatever its limitations, whatever kind of work it may be, we may indeed serve the Lord Christ. What might God do with us if we offered all of our struggles and all of our successes to God in all their entirety? Have you ever taken a moment to ask, how might I use my blessings in disguise to give glory to God? Now, we do this in so many ways. We give glory to God when we offer a full heart to one whose heart is empty. We bless others through the service of our hands. We pass on blessings when we take the time to see another's blessedness, and most importantly, we tell them what we see. In the words of Story's book, even if you're experiencing tough times right now, you still have blessings to count and blessings to share. So ask yourself this question: how can I glorify God today? Now, you will find in the pews this morning there are some sticky notes. So each of you grab a single sticky note. There are also markers and pens in the pew racks there. So kind of settle into your place. Take a sticky note and something to write with. Story continues. God has given you talents and gifts that are uniquely yours to share. And the very best day to seize those opportunities and to share them with the world is this day, not tomorrow, not next week, not next year, today. So I want to ask you this morning to take a moment and to write down one answer to the following question on your sticky note. How can I be a blessing to someone else today? What can I do to bless another this day? Now, we have a couple of members of the stewardship committee who are going to come by and gather up your sticky notes. They're going to have little baskets that you can put them in, and we'll pass them through the pews like we do for our offering. And then after they are gathered, I am going to take the baskets and I'm going to place them on the altar so that they can be consecrated. And consecrated is a fancy church word that means to be made sacred. So these blessings that you are going to offer to another are going to be blessed this day on God's table. And then afterward, we're going to place them on the blessing board in the hall down the long hallway here. So take a moment to write down one answer to how will I give glory to God by being a blessing today.